That's why having children a part of our service, it's never a dull moment. It's good for us. Someone mentioned it today that, you know, the babies will cry and make noises, and I said, praise God for that. That means there's life in the church. I'd much rather have kids running around up here than no kids at all. So it means life, and may we continue to nurture them and train them in the ways of the Lord. All right, so we're going to go to the Word, and we're going to open up to James chapter 5, starting at 13. It was read just a little bit ago, and while you're finding that, let's pray over our time in the Word. Father, our Father, holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Beside you there is no other. You are a consuming fire. In Revelation, you are described as having eyes of fire. And that when men and women encounter you, they fall down prostrate on the floor. But your first word to them is not condemnation, but do not be afraid. Rise. And so, Lord, I pray that in your word, you would anoint the proclamation of your word, and that we would have a sense today of your majesty, of your glory, and of your goodness. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would have your way. Father, that I would fade into the background. Let my words just fall away. The words that are not fruitful or meaningful, that are not centered on Christ, may they just disintegrate. And may you, Jesus, be exalted and lifted high. And Father, would you capture the hearts of your people today? Would you heal those places, Lord, that need healed? Would you relieve those burdens that are weighing down heavy? Would you bring joy to those that are downcast or full of sorrow or grief? Would you speak to us today? And as, Lord, we proclaim your word, we speak as one who speaks for God. Not our own agenda, not our own viewpoints, but your word, O Jesus. Have your way in this place, and may we encounter you. Help us, please, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So this is our third sermon on prayer, and this is an important series. I hope that you've sensed that this is, quite frankly, the best way to start out our year. To look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And the theme that has been sort of cropping up in my heart and spirit as I pray for myself, for my family, and as an extension, our family here, is the word closer. So how can we get closer to Jesus? How can we grow closer in our relationship? We all need to grow closer. And I think the first step of that is humility and admitting that, and saying that there is definitely areas in our heart, in our life, that we have not yielded to the Lord, or ways that we could get closer to the feet of Christ and hear Him speak over us. So that's the whole point of opening up with prayer this year, because what is the way we begin that process? What is the way we cultivate that process of growing closer and deeper with Christ? Well, it's by prayer. It's being people of prayer, living a life of prayer. So being people who pray at home, yes and amen, but people who pray here corporately together in the church. So let me give you a story here to start out. This comes from an illustration told by Pastor Tony Evans, and I'll share it with you because I think it's really relevant. Pastor and author Tony Evans was in Columbia, South Carolina to preach at a crusade being held in the University of South Carolina football stadium. Thousands had gathered for this evening session, but news reports indicated a serious thunderstorm was on the way. In fact, the storm was expected to hit at 7 p.m., the exact time the meeting was scheduled to start. As the sky grew darker and darker, the threat of cancellation was a valid possibility. A group of preachers and other church leaders decided to gather for a prayer meeting. Evans noted that all the preachers prayed what many would consider safe prayers. One's quite undemanding of God. Then a woman named Linda spoke up, asking if she could pray. Watch out for these prayer warriors who are women. That seems to be a common theme in revival history. Linda's prayer went something like this: Lord, thousands have gathered to hear the good news about your son. It would be a shame on your name for us to have all these unbelievers go without the gospel when you control the weather and you don't stop it. In the name of Jesus Christ, address this storm. So into the prayer meeting. Everyone took their places under the dark, threatening sky. The leader of the crusade told the people, "We'll go as long as we can." Umbrellas sprouted up among the crowd. A man sitting next to Linda opened his umbrella and offered to shield her as well. Linda refused. Evan says he and his wife watched as the rain clouds came up to the stadium, then split in two. The storm rained on both sides of the stadium and came back together on the other side just as it passed the stadium. All of those gathered for the crusade stayed dried. As Evans pointed out, how did Linda get what the preachers didn't? Well, his answer is, she had the boldness, the shameless audacity to ask and demand of God. We spoke about that last week. Shameless audacity. Wrestling with the Lord. So the first sermon was the need for prayer. Jesus, teach us to pray. We need to learn and cultivate this beautiful spiritual habit of praying, being people of prayer. People who don't just say their prayers by routine, right? But people who pray. People who have a prayer life. The second second sermon was the principles of prayer as taught by Jesus. And one of those principles are highlighted here, that we are to ask in faith according to God's will. And with the promises of God in our hand, Lord, you said you would do this. Honor your great name. And approach him at times with this shameless audacity and dare to have faith and to speak to God, because God is willing to answer us according to his will. So today we move on a little bit further, and today we're talking about the power of prayer, also highlighted in this story. Now, I want to ask you this question as we dive further into this. What kind of prayers come from your heart? Are they safe prayers? Or are they bold prayers? Now, I think there are times in our life, if we're honest, most often the average prayer that we kind of pray is this safe, sanitized prayer. We're afraid that God's not going to respond, and so we word it in a way that sort of lets him have an out. God, if you don't show up and respond to this prayer, then you won't be embarrassed, and we won't be embarrassed, and they can't say we didn't have faith and this and that. And maybe we try to be really theologically correct. I know this is a trap for myself, and that's good, right? We want to be in the Word and be theologically grounded and have correct expressions of who God is. But today I want to challenge you and push you a bit to move beyond safe praying and believe that your God is a prayer-answering God. Amen? Because He is. He wants to heal. He wants to move in your life. He wants to save family members. He wants to draw communities together. He wants to pour out His Spirit and send revival and send awakening. Now, there are certain conditions and requirements, humility and repentance and confession. There are certain things like having faith. In fact, the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. So we know that there is this condition as we pray. In fact, as we call on God and mention the name of Jesus, it is a statement of faith. God, you will hear me and you will respond. So today, let's pray bold prayers like Linda. What the church needs today, so says E.M. Bounds. He has a beautiful books on prayer, and one of my favorite quotes of his, and he's gonna say this: what the church needs today is not more machinery or better, not new organizations or more and novel methods, but men, and when he says men here, men and women whom the Holy Ghost can use, men of prayer, men mighty in prayer. The Holy Ghost does not flow through methods, but through men and women. He does not come on machinery or agendas or plans, but on his people. He does not anoint plans, but men and women of prayer. Ian Bounds, he also says this: God shapes the world by prayer. Now, if our God is sovereign and powerful and in control, can't he do whatever he wants, anytime he wants, without us? Yes and amen. And in fact, he has done that throughout history. Sometimes he will bypass mankind and he will perform and do certain acts and work in certain ways that are often mysterious to us. But what is God's normal and ordained means to change the world? Your hands and your feet, your mouth, your love, your humility, your life, your service. And the number one way I would say is your prayers. God has been so pleased to change the course of history, to give strength to the church, to make people hungry for the presence of God by praying people. Prayer moves the heart and the hands of God to act and to respond. So we can't shortcut this. Now, I think this is where we fall into a lot of trouble and into a lot of ditches, especially in the modern times of the church. We often skip over the very first priority that is laid out in Scripture. What shall God's house be called? Before it is a house of activity and outreach and mission, it is called a house of prayer. Prayer. So we start here, we're sustained here, we finish here, and everything else flows out of this, especially with regard to the power and the effect and the result of our praying. If we go to God and expect nothing to happen, chances are nothing will. But if we go to God with great faith, God, you can do this. And in fact, I think there are many times that we sort of prop ourselves up on crutches. We are blessed, sometimes too blessed. We have everything we need, and we don't really feel our need at times for God's grace in our life. Listen to me. I need God's grace to love my wife well. I need God's grace to raise my children well. I need God's grace to preach to you today. I need His grace to take out the trash, right? Every moment, every day, I need the grace of God. But I don't always feel that need until He sort of humbles me and breaks me down at times and lets me sense that there's a crisis and I need to grow closer to the Lord. There's a great Christian classic that's authored by the unknown Christian called The Kneeling Christian. And it was authored by the unknown Christian, but later on found out that it was an Anglican clergyman in the 1800s who didn't want his name put on it because he just wanted people to receive. He says this, and this is a verse in Isaiah 59:16 that I've read this past week, and I was just struck by it, so I began to look up things about it. Isaiah 59:16, God looked throughout the earth. God wondered that there was no intercessor. Can you imagine God looking on the earth and looking through mankind and with great wonder, curiosity, wonders that there is no intercessor available. May it never be said of Florence Alliance Church. May it never be said in your family, with your children, with your grandchildren, with your great-grandchildren, that there is not an intercessor present in the family. We need intercessory prayer. People who stand in the gap and who pray. God wondered that there was no intercessor available. And he goes on to say this, oh, how great must be God's wonder today. For how few there are among us who know what prevailing prayer really is. Every one of us would confess that we believe in prayer. Yet how many of us truly believe in the power of prayer? Surely there is nothing so absolutely astonishing as a practically prayerless Christian. Again, dear brothers and sisters, may it never be said of us. Let us refire and reignite our passion, our hunger, our thirst, because Jesus promises this, that those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. And he says that I am the bread of life to those that are hungry. I am the living water, that if you drink of this deep, endless well, you will never be thirsty again. Here is the promise of our Lord and Savior. He is everything we need. He's everything we have. Right? He's not only everything I need, he's all I have. It starts with him. All the gifts of my life come from his hand. And I am fully dependent, as the song said, we will depend on you, we will depend on you. Can we sing that with a conviction that says, yes, when I walk out of this place, I depend on the Lord Jesus. So in the place of prayer, seeking the power of God to work through our prayers with faith and expectation, believing that God is going to work, we turn to James 5. And here, verses 13 through 16 lay out several key passages for us with regard to the power of prayer. The power of prayer. So we pick up here in verse 13, "Is anyone among you in trouble?" James says, "Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord." And so that's the prescription. And here's the result. Verse 15, "And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed." The next part of this verse, "The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." I used to read and preach from the KJV many years ago, and I love the King James translation of this verse because it says this, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." That sounds very poetic, but what that means is that there is a certain kind of character in person praying, and they're saying a certain kind of prayer. They've moved beyond safe praying. They've moved beyond what's neat and what you can put in a box and a package. The prayers may look messy and they may stumble over the words. The prayers may come down with great tears, even moanings and groanings before the Lord. But oh, the Bible calls them effective prayers. Powerful and effective prayers that move God's hand to act in a world that's hurting and so desperately needs His power. Not only this, we've already established that there is reconciliation in the congregation, that this kind of community is confessing their sins one to another. There's no pretense, there's no mask, there's no I'm holier than you, and you need this, and I need this. No, we are all on level ground at the foot of Calvary's cross, and we are all desperately in need of the same thing, and that is the power of God to sustain us. Just because I preach to you every week, let me tell you, I know my own heart. I know my own thoughts, and I know the sinner that I am, and I know the need of God's grace. And I'm not anything above anyone because I'm standing at this podium today. We all need the power and the grace of God. So this is a community that's authentic, that's honest. They're not hiding behind any hypocritical sort of pretense or mask. They've just dropped it all and they've bared their heart and their soul. These people, the scripture calls righteous. Righteous. Do they have problems? Yes. Amen. Many problems? Yes. Amen. Will they fail God and others? Yes. And amen. But their heart and the pattern of their life and their walk is toward Christ. Their heart is moldable, teachable. It's humble. It's quick to repent. Slow to speak, quick to hear. So these kind of people, praying in faith, praying these kinds of prayers, the promises are that even the sick can be healed. That if you are in trouble, do you have a need? The scripture says, come and pray. Is anyone happy? The scriptural command is rejoice. Sing songs of praise and shout to the Lord, for He is worthy of your praise and your rejoicing. We will weep with you, we will dance with you, we will shout with you, we will declare the goodness of God together. And both notes are present in the community of faith, lament and joy. And we honor God with both. So we can cry together and we can rejoice together. And then when this community comes together and they pray for one another, the Lord said that the sick can be made well. That the lost can be found and be saved and renewed. That if they have sins, they can be forgiven. They can pray for one another. They can be healed, both physically and spiritually. And the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. I remember praying, and I'll give you a couple examples from my own life. I remember praying in such a way to kind of move beyond the few times I've moved beyond safe prayers, and I've joined Linda and praying for God's hand in an immediate way. So there was a time in Eastern Kentucky where we were pastoring a church there, a small Alliance church, just south of Pikeville. And we were hemmed in by the mountains, and we were lonely, and let's just be honest, we were depressed, we were struggling, we saw very little fruit of our ministry. I mean, just nothing was happening. I know that some things were happening, but I couldn't see them. Maybe I should put it that way. It was a work in the heart. But I would struggle to make ends meet there. The church could not pay me, and I worked as a teacher for a while. I drove a school bus in the hollers of eastern Kentucky. That's a whole nother adventure where I needed a whole nother faith and trusted in the Lord. So I was driving, I was teaching, I was full-time student of earning an undergrad in biblical studies. I was pastoring a small church. We were struggling in our home, in our marriage. There was a lot of things going on. And there was a time, this happened two separate times actually, that Rachel went to the pantry and grabbed the last can of beans or the last canned good, and we had no food. And this is not very long ago. We're talking 2017, 2018. And she grabbed the last can of food, and we, at that time, we were reading George Mueller. So we were reading the faith of George Mueller. And there was these incredible stories about George Mueller caring for the orphans in his orphanage. And he would pray, not having any food. And they would gather the children and sit down at the table, and they would say, without making the need known to the children, they would just go to the Lord directly and say, God, we're here to eat. What shall we have? Will you provide it? And he would believe by the time his prayer was finished that food was on its way or food was coming through the door. So we gathered the children together two different occasions and we said, we've got a can of beans. Maybe the Lord will multiply them. Or we can pray like George Mueller and we can say, God, come, we need you right now. Not tomorrow. We need you right now. And so I'll tell you, on both of the occasions we prayed that way, before we finished our first prayer that time, we had a member of the church show up with buckets of KFC chicken, fried chicken. And man, going from a can of beans to fried chicken, I mean, that was a win. But the Lord did it. He provided, right? And it was a step of faith. It was a willingness to almost be embarrassed, to take a risk, to step out like Peter on the water and say, Lord, you're sovereign, you're in control of the waves, I'll trust you. And as long as I keep my eyes on Jesus, I'll not sink and I'll not fall away. But the moment I take my eyes off of Christ, then there's all kinds of trouble, as we well know. There was another time we did the exact same thing, and a knock at the door, another member of the church showed up with Little Caesars. I was just passing by, wanted to pick up some pizzas for you all. Hope you enjoy it. And we quickly inhaled them. They were devoured. The goodness of God, the grace of God, the provision of God. I remember another occasion when Aubrey was born. At her birth, she was born with the cord wrapped around her neck, and she was black and blue, and they called code blue, and several doctors rushed in the room. And I remember at that time, we started praying. All we could do was pray. And I looked at Rachel, and I could see the fear on her face, and they quickly grabbed, you know, the baby and tried to do what they needed to do, and we're saying, what's wrong? And in that moment, all I could do was grab her hand, and we just begin to say, Jesus, 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 help us, help us. And she was silent for a few moments, what seemed like such an eternity, long moments, just maybe a very brief time, and then she let out the most glorious sound, a beautiful, loud cry, and she hasn't stopped since. And I love it, and I thank God for it. But what could we do? Where could we go? Who could we turn to but the Lord? We prayed, and the power of prayer, God comes through for His children again and again and again. Now, make no mistake about it. There are mysterious times in our life where we pray for certain things and things don't happen, right? Not in the way that we want them to or in the timing we want. Now, God works sovereignly and mysteriously, and He heals at times and other times He doesn't. And we can't pry deeply into those mysteries. We live in a fallen world, but the prescription here throughout Scripture is still does not hinder us from praying in great faith. When people approach us for healing, we are to pray for healing and expect that God will somehow, some way, in some time come through for them. So we trust in the sovereign care and in the work of God. And we get this from the text. We'll close out here. Look at verse 17. So James gives a living illustration, a living example of this kind of prayer warrior and this kind of prayer. And it's Elijah here, verse 17. Elijah was a human being. Now, he has to remind the people, remember Elijah. Great man of faith, great prophet. God did great miracles and signs and wonders through. He was a human being. He was not Superman. He was not a hero. He was a man made from the dust of the earth like us. This is what James is saying. All these people in the Bible, Elijah, Moses, Paul, all these great heroes of the faith that we celebrate and we join in with, they were just human beings, ordinary people that did extraordinary things for God because they were people of prayer and people in the Spirit. So Elijah was a human being, verse 17, even as we are, he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. See the results of his praying? Again he prayed that the heavens gave rain and the earth produced its crops. This is a wonderful biblical example for us. The great prophet Elijah, a human being, ordinary man, just like us. What's the difference? What's the common thread in David and Elijah and Moses and Abraham and Paul and Peter, James? They were people of prayer, and they sought the Lord. They pursued the Lord with great faith. They were feeble and fragile, and they were fallen, and they made mistakes. Yet they prayed. It says he earnestly prayed that it would not rain, and so God heard him. So for the 3.5 years, Elijah appeared on the scene with a key to heaven and locks it up. Just like that. And then he has the power to unlock it. Imagine the communion and the intimacy he had with his God. To have these kind of conversations. God, lock up the heavens and keep rain for 3.5 years. Done, Elijah. God, now is the time. Bring forth the rain. Done, Elijah. So God was working mightily through this man of prayer. Before Elijah was a man of miracles, he was a man of prayer, a man of deep intimacy with God. That's the key to Elijah. That's the key to David's repentance. They prayed. They sought the Lord. And then verse 19, my brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save them from death and cover a multitude of sins. So that's the closing out of that book and that chapter. A community of forgiveness, of healing, of great faith, and a community that hunts down brothers and sisters when they fall by the wayside to reconcile them to God and to one another. God honors these kind of people. This heart and culture of prayer. This is why I think it's so hard for me to describe what kind of prayer we're seeking here. Wednesday nights we're coming together, we're praying, and we're seeking the face of God. I can't describe it to you because it's not a formula. It's not an equation. It's not say this word and that word and God comes. We need to build a culture of prayer. It is a culture. It's a tone. It's a heart orientation that believes that God is going to come, believes that God is going to work, believe that God is going to send revival, amen? That He's going to send awakening and outpouring, that He's going to save those that need saved, that He's going to bring a community together. Elijah. Are we like Elijah? Here's what one of my favorite preachers of the past and authors, his name is Leonard Ravenhill, you've heard me quote him before. To the question, where is the Lord God of Elijah? That's actually found in 2 Kings 2:14. The question is asked by Elisha, who would receive the mantle and ministry of his mentor. I know it's very confusing. They have the same name, right? Elijah, Elisha, where is the God of Elijah? He asks. To the question, where is the Lord God of Elijah? We answer, where he has always been, on the throne. Maybe the better response is this, but where are the Elijahs of God? We know Elijah was a man of like passions as we are, we read that, but alas, we are not men of like prayers, he was. Out of obscurity, Elijah came on to the Old Testament stage, a full-grown man. Queen Jezebel, the daughter of hell, had routed the priests of God and replaced them with groves to false deities. Darkness covered the land and gross darkness the people, and they were drinking iniquity down like water. Every day the land, fouled with heathen temples and idolatrous rites, saw smoke curling from 1,000 cruel altars. Elijah lived with God. He thought about the nation's sin like God. He grieved over sin like God. He spoke against sin like God. He was all passion in his prayers and passionate in his denunciation of evil in the land. He had no smooth preaching. Passion fired his preaching, and his words were on the hearts of men as molten metal on their flesh. Brothers and sisters, if we will do God's work in God's way, at God's time, and with God's power, we shall have God's blessings and the devil's curses. When God opens the windows of heaven to bless us, the devil will open the doors of hell to blast us. God's smile means the devil's frown, so says Leonard Ravenhill, in a way that only he could say it. He also remarked this one time, that he was praying for a meeting and he said, "Lord, make this a very bad day for the enemy." He also said, "When my feet touch the floor in the morning, I want hell to tremble." There he is, Brother Leonard. He's awake. Certainly he'll go to his prayer closet. This is what the enemy fears more than anything. Listen, he will keep us busy. He will keep us working. He will keep us doing good things, productive things. He will keep us theologically sound. He fears none of that. But when we commit ourselves to prayer, then we're starting to rattle the very realm of darkness. And they start to stand up and take attention. So I want to encourage you today, are we going to be a threat to the enemy, to the forces of darkness? Are we going to be known by heaven? Are we going to be known in the throne room of God as people who pray, and their prayers are powerful and effective? Let us be people like this. Let us believe in the power of prayer. Let me say a prayer over us. Oh, Father, please help us be people who are solely dependent on You. Not on our own strength, not in our own ideas. Let us be sick and tired, discontent with lukewarm faith, with cold, lifeless prayer closets. Oh God, fill us with life. Fill us with life. Renew our fervor, our passion, our zeal. Grow us in holiness and righteousness, the kind that overflows to our neighbors and our enemies, that seeks to love first. Make us humble. Pierce our hearts, O God, for what pierces Your own. May we look upon this world and not simply believe that they are lost, undone without Christ, in our own minds and intellect, but may we feel this reality. Let us feel the weight of the unreached, people who are in closed countries. Let us feel the weight of those around us who have yet to bend their knee and surrender their heart to Jesus. Oh Lord, You are worthy. You are worthy. And may Your bride be spotless. May she be beautiful, the church. May she grow in character in Christ's likeness. And may it start with us in our own prayers. And let us believe wholly that You will move, O God. Build our faith. Grow our faith. And may we be like Elijah, May we hold the key to heaven. Oh, Father, move your heart and hand toward us. Holy Spirit, now, come and speak to us where we're at and help us where we're at. Do your work, Lord. May you receive all glory and all honor, and may the Lamb of God receive the full reward of his sufferings. In Jesus' beautiful and strong name we pray. Amen. Amen.